Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast. I'm Carlene Higgins, and I'm here with my good friend, Jill Dunn. Hi, Jill.
Hey, guys. Hey, Carlene. So if you guys are new to our show, first of all, welcome. We are two longtime beauty editors, and our show is really all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty.
In today's episode, we're here to celebrate Pride Month with none other than Brooklyn Heights. So excited for a virtual sit down with Brooklyn today. Of course, many of you will know her already from the 11th season of RuPaul's Drag Race, where she was the first runner-up. And she's also the first Canadian to be on the show, hence her nickname, Queen of the North.
So that makes us Canada proud, of course. And Brooklyn is now an official judge on Canada's Drag Race, season one, premiering on July 2nd on Crave Canada. And in the US, you can catch it on Wow Presents Plus.
I personally cannot wait for this show to get started. I am such a diehard fan. I've watched every season up to season 12, and it's family viewing for us, honestly. Both my kids love watching the show. I just have to put earmuffs on every time RuPaul says good luck and don't f it up. My son's like, he walks around the house pretending he's on the show. He made up this phrase called plungy girls. He's like, I'm a plungy girl. And he's like working the little runway down the hallway. It's really cute.
Oh, little 6-year-old on a runway. So cute. I just think it's so much fun. And it's just all about, you know, that self-expression. So I love that they're into it.
Yeah, it's a feel good show, you know?
Absolutely. It was with a little shady side dish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brooklyn Heights is the stage name of Brock Hayhoe. And if you watch the show, you'll know that Brock is a classically trained ballet dancer. Brock actually studied just down the road from us at the National Ballet School of Canada. And Brock's performed with Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo. Hopefully I'm not mucking that up too much. And you could really see those moves in Brooklyn's performances on the show, which is just won her so many challenges and just frankly jaw-dropping performances. Like, you would just watch it and then rewind it to watch it again. You couldn't believe what you saw.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there was the on-show romance with Miss Vanjie. I don't think we had ever seen an on-air romance in all the seasons leading up to that. And then, of course, her super pulled together outfits, like the bedazzled Mountie uniform. I mean, like perfection. And for all these reasons, Brooklyn has just shot to stardom since the show aired.
Yeah. So for today's episode, you're going to want to pull up a chair. We're about to get all the tea on the number one thing to look forward to on Canada's Drag Race. Plus, we are a beauty podcast and we're not going to let you guys down. So we're going to get a full rundown of her whole drag queen beauty routine.
You won't believe what the hack is that she uses to make her eyes look snatched. Oh my gosh, I completely learned so much. Plus, we find out her number one favorite drugstore product, her ride or die skincare must, and Brooklyn reveals the craziest place she's ever done makeup. All of the products mentioned will be listed on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com. And finally, Brooklyn is going to reflect on the meaning of pride this year, in particular under quarantine, with a few questions from my own daughter, Ines, who's making her debut at the end of today's episode.
You guys have to stay tuned for that. And here she is, Brooklyn Heights.
So we're going to jump right into it, Brooklyn. So first of all, we've been following some of your advocacy work on social media for Black Lives Matter. And I know that each and every week this month in June, you're donating your Cameo proceeds to causes close to your heart. By the way, I love Cameo. So much fun. So tell us about that and what sort of inspired you to do that.
Well, I was just thinking about ways I could be more involved and give back. And then at the same time, maybe encourage other people to be involved and feel like they were donating something as well. So Cameo thing seemed like the perfect fit. I actually did it at the beginning of COVID with Canadian Queens. I did 2 weeks where I donated all of my Cameo earnings to different Queens, local Queens who were just out of work and weren't able to do things. And actually I jumped, Absolute Vodka jumped on with me on that and they donated $25,000.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, we were able to give like 50 queens, I think $500 each, which was great. So I had done it before. So I thought, why not try it again? So I did some research and last week we raised $4,450 for Black Lives Matter.
Wow, and then, awesome.
Yeah, this week we're doing the Unique Women's Coalition, which is a Los Angeles-based organization that aids Black trans women. And also Black trans women and trans women in general have been getting murdered in really, really high volumes in the States. Mm. So it was really, that was a really important issue and organization for me to help out with, especially being part of the queer community.
What was the craziest cameo that you've been asked to do?
I haven't been asked to do many crazy ones. I have to be honest. I usually get like the birthdays or the whatever, but you know, another Drag Race alumni, Bob the Drag Queen, who I believe won season 8. I think he won season 8. He was asked to break up with somebody. Yeah.
Stop. Oh my God.
If I was wearing pearls, I'd be clutching.
I know. And he did it. And I was like, oh God, I don't know if I could have done that. But yeah, he asked,
oh my gosh,
he asked to break up with somebody.
Cameo's the new post-it note.
It is.
For 2020.
If you get broken up with, Bob's a good person to do it for you.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Well, we need some hot goss on Canada's Drag Race, even though it's not out just yet. And okay, by the way, it's Canada's Drag Race, right? Not Drag Race Canada.
Canada's Drag Race, yes, because I think Drag Race Canada was trademarked by a racing company. So,
oh gosh,
yeah, like car racing, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. So, Canada's Drag Race.
Not the same.
Yeah,
no.
So my prediction, and I'm saying it on the record here, is that the Queen Priyanka is going to win Canada's Drag Race. Okay. And I saw her perform at a drag show back in December, and she's just so fun to watch. But is there a single spoiler that you're allowed to give away? Like, what's the tea?
Definitely Snatch Game is going to be a highlight. Snatch Game was really, really good.
Oh, I love Snatch Game. Okay, I'm so excited for that.
I have a long history of Snatch Game, so I was glad this one went well for them.
Yeah. So many firsts when you were on season 11 of Drag Race. First Queen of the North on the show. First couple that I noticed to be on the show, you and Miss Vanjie.
Yes.
A lot of people were saying the best lip sync in drag herstory with when you did Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
It was so epic. Now, I read this online. I need to know if this is true. Is it true that Demi Lovato DM'd you to hang out afterwards? And did you?
That is true. Yeah. Demi's actually, we're friends now, which is weird. but she's lovely. Yeah. It wasn't directly after, which made it even stranger. It was like months afterwards. And I was sitting there on my phone, as we all do. And all of a sudden, I looked at my DMs and it said Demi Lovato, blue check mark. And I was like,
what?
Oh my God, I just watched the lip sync. It was so amazing. And we just started chatting. And yeah, she's a very, very nice, cool girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
It was truly one of the, it's like, you just want to get up in your living room and dance when you were doing that. Like, it was unbelievable.
Well, I had so much fun doing it. I always say, like, every time I had to lip sync on the show, especially that lip sync, I was was the least nervous I was the whole time I was there. Cause I was like, oh, I do this song every weekend at the club. I didn't even listen to it before. Like, I didn't, usually the queens and Untucked are like, have their earphones in and they're like in the back, like rocking back and forth, trying to like figure out what they're going to do. And I was sitting with everybody else getting drunk. So I was having a good time.
Hey guys, I want to break for just a minute to talk about a simple way to stay healthy, stay energized, and stay focused with fresh, delish meals delivered straight to your door, courtesy of our friends at Sakara. Now, way back when the quarantine first started, I thought I was going to have more time to get things done, like work on some life goals, learn photography, maybe do my taxes. Turns out between the kids, work, and cleaning, I have even less time. If you've got your hand up right now saying, it me, you're definitely going to want to check out Sakara. They're a nutrition company offering ready-to-eat meals made with organic, plant-rich superfoods, just what we need right now. Let's see what's on the menu for next week. We've got sexiest salad in NYC with seasonal berries, chickpeas, almonds, and cinnamon Dijon dressing, Szechuan noodles with roasted carrots, and yum, wild tropics toast with guava jam. Those are just some examples of what you might find on their menu. So think of Sakara as your personal celebrity chef on speed dial. In addition to their delicious meals, Sakara also offers daily essentials like supplements and herbal teas to complete your wellness routine and support overall health and vitality. To boost immunity, try their best-selling daily probiotic blend or detox water drops with pure chlorophyll. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their order when you go to sakara.com/beauty and enter code beauty at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/beauty to get 20% off your order. We'll link to this offer in our show notes and on our blog. That's sakara.com/beauty. And now back to today's guest.
I'm Arielle Lori, host of the Blonde Files podcast, where every Wednesday I cover all things wellness. After nearly dying from drugs and alcohol 6 years ago, I've been on a mission to live my best, most fulfilled life, and I'm sharing everything with you. From how to achieve optimal health, well-being, and fulfillment, to the best beauty tips and even cosmetic procedures, I cover it all with raw, candid conversations with experts and inspirational guests. You can follow along with everything over on Instagram at Arielle Lori, and make sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
So I know that you grew up outside of Toronto, and I read that it was in a devout Christian family. Are you able to share some of your coming out story? It's Pride Month, and I think a lot of people would be interested in hearing that. How did you get the courage to do that when you were just 18?
Yeah, I grew up in Etobicoke, just Islington subway station. Hey, that was the stop. My grandparents, my mother's parents were missionaries. She was actually raised in Malaysia in Borneo. And my grandpa had a hospital in the middle of the jungle in Borneo. And so that's where my mom was raised until she was a teenager. And then my dad's family was extremely religious. They just belonged to a very strict Christian church that you couldn't, I believe the term for them was Plymouth Brethren, and you couldn't wear, the women weren't allowed to wear pants and they had to wear head coverings in church. So that's kind of what I was born into. They had left that church by the time I was born though, thank God. Cause that would have been interesting. But I went to church every Sunday, every Sunday night. I had youth group every Saturday or every Friday or Wednesday. So I was brought up very, very Christian. And I mean, it was one of those things, like looking back at it, I think it was pretty clear to everybody that I was different. I've always been very effeminate. I've always loved dolls and everything girly. Like I was that kid. Like, you know, you see those kids and you're like, God gave him an extra swish in his step. That was me. So when I came out, I was genuinely shocked. People were like, oh my God, you're gay? And I was like, yeah, like, really? did we just meet? But I actually came out to my mom on Pride when I was 18, because we were looking at the newspaper and we were just, there was of course the big Pride thing on the front cover, and she was like talking about it, and you could kind of tell she was like hinting at it a little bit. And she's like, well, do you think you might be gay? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
She started crying and I was like, why are you crying? I was like, you can't be surprised, Mom. Like, come on. Like, we've been through this. Like, and there had been like things leading up to that, but like, I never actually said it. And then, so she was sad. And my dad, I didn't tell my dad. She told my dad. And then my dad asked me about it in like a super awkward, like hour long car ride where I had nowhere to escape.
Oh God.
Yeah. It was horrible. But yeah, I was just very matter of fact about it. I wasn't trying to apologize. I was just like, yeah, I'm gay. This is who I am. I think it's all pretty obvious. And my parents, to their credit, like given their upbringing and where they came from, they were pretty good with it. Like, I never got disowned. I never was told I wasn't loved anymore, any of that stuff. They weren't happy about it and they thought it was a choice. And I got all of the literature to read about how, about how I could turn myself not gay, and suggestions of Christian conferences I could go to led by someone who used to be gay and is no longer gay, all of that stuff. So, and I was just like, we're not doing that. That's not what's happening.
Yeah.
So it definitely created a rift, but looking back on it, like, I don't blame them and I don't fault them. I understand where they were coming from. They didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. And now me and my mom are very close. She's come to accept me, and she came to a couple of the viewing parties at Woody's in Toronto for the show. And now she's a really big supporter. So I'm very lucky.
Yeah. You know, Rue always says that the show brings families closer together.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Yeah. So of course we're a beauty podcast, so we got to ask you all the tricks.
Yeah.
I read that it takes you 2 hours to transform into Brooklyn Heights. Is that true?
That's a lie. it takes me like an hour, maybe.
Yeah.
It's very,
wow.
It's very paint by numbers at this point. I've been doing it a long time. So I'm just kind of like,
yeah,
it goes on.
Where did you learn to do makeup?
Honestly, no one ever taught me. Like, it was very much like, if you saw like early, there's like one or two pictures that my friends have from when I was like 19, when I first started, it was rough. I was at the National Ballet School of Canada then. And we used to get all of our makeup sponsored, our stage makeup sponsored by MAC Cosmetics. And mm-hmm. I had, my foundation was that it was like the pancake foundation that you had to wet the sponge. You remember?
Yeah.
That was my first drag foundation. And then I moved over because I needed something heavier. I moved over. Do you remember? I don't think they make it anymore. That Maybelline whipped matte mousse.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that.
Oh yeah. That was my, I didn't block my eyebrows. I didn't even wear lashes for the longest time. Like, I just didn't know. So it's been a really long period of trial and error. And I've had a couple people do I think only two people have painted me in the last, like, how long have I been doing it? 15 years now. Only about two people have painted me. And I really learned a lot both of those times. But it's really been trial and error, figuring out my own face, seeing what other people do, trying what they did, like kind of stuff like that. I remember one of the big turning points in my makeup was when Miss Fame from Drag Race, she's a big beauty guru now too, she did a makeup tutorial on YouTube. And I remember watching that and I kind of learned to paint my face a little bit through that. But yeah, it's really just been honestly trial and error and just figuring out your own face and seeing yourself going, oh, I'm never doing that.
What's the craziest place you've ever done your own makeup?
In a car on the way to Palm Springs.
Oh, full drag?
Full face in the front seat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think it was a convertible too.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, I was like,
gotta have like windproof lashes.
Oh yeah, like I was like gluing down my brows and everything. Like it was like, it was intense.
Yeah. Well, we want to get some specifics. So let's start with like the first step, erasing. What do you do?
Erasing. Okay. So first thing I do is obviously I shave. Usually a nice thing about quarantine is you don't have to shave so close because no one can actually see you. But if I'm in drag for a long time, I shave my face and I actually back shave it. So I go against the grain and that gives you that like baby smooth, like you can't see, you can't clock anything. So I do that. And then the next step for me is I glue down my brows and I actually have all like this, you're sitting on my makeup table right now. Use Prozade. And all of my makeup looks busted. It's like covered in stuff. So Prozade is like a medical grade prosthetics adhesive. So it's used for like movies and stuff to apply prosthetics. So I use that on my eyebrow and I use like an eyebrow brush. So you basically put it in and then you just brush it through.
Okay.
And it dries super quickly. And then you just powder over it. And it's like, this stuff is a lifesaver, because I'm sure you've seen me as a boy. I have a brow. I have a very thick brow. So that's probably the most important step for me in my makeup process. I do that. And then honestly, like, I've been in drag for 12 hours. I've gone swimming. I've jumped in a pool. Like, they will not move.
Okay. Hot tip. And you just order it online? Or
I get that on Amazon. Super easy.
Okay.
Not expensive. It lasts forever. So I did that. And then I used to, when I started doing my makeup, I would do my foundation and contour and everything first, and my eyes would be last.
Okay.
I could never understand why I would, like, Miss Fame, for example, when I watched that tutorial, the first time I saw a person do their eyes first and then build everything around it. I didn't understand until I tried it. It's so much better, because the eyes are what take the longest and usually what require the most detail. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense to do that first, and they automatically came out cleaner and because it was like the first thing I was really concentrating on. And that way, if you fuck up, I'm sorry, can I swear on here?
Yeah, we're totally good.
If you fuck up, you just started the process, so you can just take it off and start over again. Whereas if it's the last thing you're doing and you fuck up, then you have to take off pretty much your whole face and redo everything again.
Yeah.
So after I do my, I block my eyebrows. Oh, I wear those face tapes. The little. Have you ever tried those?
No, tell us everything.
Oh my God. It's literally, you can see them right there.
Okay.
That. So it's literally like, and these ones are really good. I actually got them at the beauty bar or the face station in Toronto.
Okay.
Oh yeah. On Queen West, right?
The old makeup school store.
Yes.
I don't remember the name of it, but yeah, it's on. Lucky actually introduced me to these. And you can get them there. And so it's basically two little stickers, and then they have strings attached to them, and you put it in the back.
Okay.
And it literally just gives you, it just pulls. It gives you like a mini facelift. It just does that.
Yeah. This is like that ponytail lift.
Yeah. It just snatches your face right up. Like,
yeah, I need that right now. Okay.
It's really good. So I do that after everything's done. Mm-hmm. I put on a primer. I use the Too Faced Hangover 3-in-1. Mm-hmm. Which is great. I just spray that on, let it dry, and then I start with my eyes. And I use the Tarte face tape, or what is it called?
Shape tape?
That's the one.
So good.
Yeah, Tarte shape tape. So I just dot that on my eyebrows and on my eyes, and I take a little beauty blender and I just kind of white out the area. And then I go in with my eyeshadow.
Yeah,
amazing.
I always start with creating the crease. I've experimented a lot. The only eye shape that really looks good on me is like this crease. I can't do a full, because I have such small, like, I have very hooded eyes and I don't have a lot of lid space. So it's really important to create this illusion. That's like my eyebrow right there. So like my crease kind of goes up to the beginning of my eyebrow.
Oh, okay.
So I create that. And then I go in with, the shape tape again, and I, use a little brush and I mark out the crease and kind of really cut it so it's nice and clean. Mm-hmm. And then I use, I love those, eyeliner is so hard for me to do again, because I have such small, I'm one of those people who puts on eyeliner and if I blink, it like ends up here. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of space. So when I blink, everything touches. So I love the eyeliner pens. And I just started using they actually just sent me a little PR pack, because they'll do that for me now.
yeah, of course.
The Lady Gaga, the House Labs one.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, cool. So nice. What's the review? Yeah. We've not tried it.
It's a really big size. It's really large and it has a really nice, I'll do that beauty influencer thing they do.
Oh, I love it.
It's a really nice tip. It's great to do. I really, really highly, highly recommend it. So after I've cut everything and kind of everything's where it needs to be, I will do my eyeliner. And then I usually do a little glitter. I'm wearing another one of my favorite products is the Heavy Metal by Urban Decay.
Urban Decay, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's super glittery, but it doesn't fall everywhere because it's like a gel.
Right, yeah.
It's amazing. Another thing that I think probably a lot of people aren't aware of is when you're doing your eyeshadow, especially when you block your brows, it's a very different ball game, because you're dealing with two different textures. You're dealing with the actual texture of your skin, and then you're dealing with this new texture where the glue is.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
I learned this, I forget who I learned this for, but you kind of have to dot it. You can't really brush it. I brush it to be, okay. And then if you really want the color to go on, you have to go in and you just, it's like this. It's like this.
Kind dabbing.
Of, yeah. You have to dab.
Okay.
And that's the best way to get a blend, because you really kind of have to punch it in there, because it's not, it's a different texture. And another thing that helps with that is which is another thing I learned actually kind of recently, is when I put on my concealer to cover up my eyebrows and everything, I used to powder it. Mm-hmm. And now if you don't powder it, it works so much better, because then the makeup sticks to it. And before,
right.
The makeup just wasn't sticking to it properly. So don't put any powder on when you're doing your eyeshadow, and just let the makeup stick to that and kind of blend out from there.
Okay. And then your eyebrows, do you pencil those in, or do you actually stick something on?
These are lace front eyebrows.
Get out. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Can I take a screen grab of this? Yeah. Of you? Yes. Yes. Oh my God. They're so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're lace front eyebrows. So I literally it's one of the last things I do. I just glue them on, mm-hmm. and then I extend them out a little bit with a little bit of, like a brow powder, mm-hmm. Just cause they're meant for a small woman, which I am not. So I kind of have to draw them out a little bit. But yeah, that's one of the last things I do. After I do my eyes, I always go in my whole beard area with an orange colored pan stick. Mm-hmm. It has like a red peach orange tone. And that, okay. That kind of cancels out the blue color in your beard, just in case
right.
showing through. So I do that. And then I go in with my foundation, which is my favorite foundation for the last couple of years. It looks super gross because I've been using it.
Obsessed.
It's well loved.
Or the KVD, I guess we call it now. The KVD foundation is everything.
I wear that on TV all the time. And I always feel so ratchet carrying it around for the exact reason you just showed. It gets everywhere.
Yeah, it's because you lose the little stopper that goes in there.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
It's amazing. I use that. And I actually just started using one of these brushes.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought they were so weird and I just never tried it. And it actually works really well.
Yeah.
It's like a little hand brush.
Yeah. It looks like a mini hairbrush, and it's like so soft and round. People can't see it. So,
yeah.
It's like Artiste is the name. And like those brushes are designed for you to do your own makeup. All the other makeup brushes out there for artists to do on other people's face, that's why those feel like so good to use on yourself.
It's such a nice blend. It's really, really
mm-hmm. cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love. What about your favorite eyeshadow?
My favorite eyeshadow, oh my God. I've used this palette to death. It's the Alyssa Edwards Anastasia Beverly Hills collab.
That's so good.
It's this little, I know people can't see it, but I'll show you. It's this little palette and the purple in it, as you can see right there. Completely gone, because that is like it's the best purple. It is so pigmented and so bright. There is zero fallout. Like you can really get your brush in there and go on and nothing falls off. Like, it's the best. And I love, purple's my favorite color because it's the color of royalty and it's such a pretty color. It really works well with my eye color. It just brightens everything. It really makes things pop. So that would definitely be my favorite. Another one of my favorite palettes that I've been using is the Kimchi palette.
Yes,
she just started her own makeup.
Love Kimchi.
It is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to see all of these, like, now drag queens are coming out with makeup, and they're coming out with makeup for other drag queens.
Yeah,
so, like, we're kind of getting this cool new like wave of makeup that's kind of meant for drag, and it's amazing.
Is that the Rainbow Shards palette?
Yeah, the Rainbow Shards palette. It's really, really great. My favorite color that I use the most is Toast. And you can see
it's so good.
And it's the perfect like soft contour color. I started my crease today with Toast. I'd actually used all of the neutral browns in here for a crease. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, really good. And I also just got her setting powder. So after I do my foundation, I go back in again with the shape tape because it's apparently my favorite. I do dots under my eyes. I do just in between my brows. I do on my Cupid's bow and I do on my chin. And then you just take a beauty blender and you blend all that out. And then I go in with a Krylon TV paint stick. It just works the best for me. And I just do my contour areas, my jaw, my cheekbones, my forehead. And I take a brush and do the sides of my nose. And then I buff all that out too. And then I use the Kimchi setting powder. And it's amazing. I think it's some sort of Korean beauty formula. And I mean, right, when it comes to makeup and beauty, I trust the Koreans because...
Yeah, it's so good.
So, but it's, there's something about it. Your face is literally like silk. Like your face, you feel so smooth. And it's just like, I like touching my face to drag now because it just feels like silk.
Yeah.
I need to try that.
But honestly, highly, highly, highly recommend. It works incredibly. So I set my face with that. And then, God, I go in. What do I do after that? I go back into my eyes. I only do the top of my eye before I do my face. And then I set everything. And then I go in, I usually do eyeshadow on the bottom. I'll just kind of like do like a rough line. And then I do really thick mascara. Mm-hmm. Do my mascara. I'll do my eyebrows next. I draw them in. And then I'll go and do my contour. Again, it's just it's that toast color from Kimchi. Mm-hmm. And then I use another great brand that I love, Sugar Pill.
I haven't heard of that one.
Oh yeah. It's actually been around quite a while. It's done by a girl named Amy here in Los Angeles. And she's like a Harajuku type girl. And she's friends with all the drag queens. And her makeup is very like drag influenced, super pigmented.
Yeah.
She has lipsticks and she has glitter and eyeshadows. And she does really great stuff. And she has this beautiful, it's like the perfect like coral, soft coral blush that I love to go in with for every day.
Yeah.
It just blends everything really nicely. And then I pop my lashes on and then my lips.
Well, tell us what kind of lashes. I know Jill wears lashes for TV too. So tell us your tricks.
Well, one pair of lashes is never enough for me. I use Lily lashes, which are really nice. They sent me some. Mm-hmm. And then I'll cut up a pair of 301s. And I'll kind of just glue them like near the outside. So they're just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Thicker. So it's about 1.5 pairs I'm wearing right now. And lashes are my favorite thing. Like I'm not in drag unless I'm wearing lashes.
Yeah.
It just feels for weird. Sure. So I do lashes and then my lips. And I don't do lip liner or anything because I overdraw my lips so much that I literally just take a liquid lipstick and go. It doesn't move anymore, and then I just kind of fix it.
You can't see what that was, the most amazing mouth movement.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Yeah.
I love for lips. I'm wearing a MAC red right now. I'm wearing the my favorite red, Fashion Legacy by MAC. I also love besides that, I love Fenty Beauty lips, liquid lips are incredible. I use, I love a nude lip. I wear red once in a while, but I really do prefer like a nude mauve lip. So this is called Uncuffed.
I wear that one.
I love Uncuffed.
Our audience, Brooklyn, is like kind of skincare obsessed. And we were just talking about K-beauty. So obviously wearing so much makeup, I'm sure you have a skincare routine. Tell us about your top shelf.
Yes. So skincare is so important, and it's not something I really got into until a little bit later in life, but does it make a difference. And I never realized, especially putting on makeup, like some days I'd be like, oh, just like I'm dry or it's not sticking or I look like ashy or something. Like there was just some days that it just really wasn't working. And then I realized like skincare, like getting your canvas ready is so important. So every night and every morning I wash my face with, I use Kiehl's. I'm a big Kiehl's fan. I use the Energizing Face Wash right now. And I don't know if y'all are like this, but I like to switch products. Like I switch things out pretty regularly just because I feel like your skin gets used to things. Mm-hmm. You start using
a
product. Like
we try a lot of stuff. Yeah, I get that. Like,
oh, what's this? So right now I'm using the Kiehl's Moist Energizing Face Wash for Men. And I use one of those, I think it's called Fiore. It's like...
the Foreo? Foreo?
That's the one. I was going to say a word.
It's like a vibrator for your face.
Yeah, it's like a vibrator for your face. So it goes for like a minute and I do that. And it's really nice for firming and stuff. And then I take the Midnight Recovery Oil from Kiehl's. Mm-hmm. And I put that on. And then I got one of those Tectonic rollers.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ones like from like Madonna started using them and stuff. It's like two balls and it. Mm-hmm. I really go in on my right here and on my jawline because those are kind of trouble areas for me to really like tighten up and firm. And then my bones and stuff and my forehead. So it helps massage the oil really deep into your skin. I do that. And then I finish up with creme de la mer. Sushi. It's so good. I use creme de la mer every time before I put my makeup on. It just gets your skin.
Oh, wow.
Nice. And you don't need a lot. You just really feel hydrated. And then I also use the Charlotte Tilbury eye cream.
What about taking all your makeup off?
Oh, so taking my
makeup off. What do you do? Off,
I actually just got, I got this special stuff for taking off the Pro's Aid, because the hardest part about taking my makeup off is taking off the glue in your eyebrows. Mm-hmm. A drag friend of mine, Nikki Doll, actually, she was on season 12. She showed me this product, and it's just like a, it's just an adhesive remover, but it works so well. It's so oily and it just breaks down all the glue. So I will spray some of that on a Neutrogena makeup wipe, because I'm a huge Neutrogena makeup wipe fan. I use the purple ones, the lavender scented nighttime ones, because I find they work better. So I take my eyebrows off, and then I use the Kiehl's, what's it called? Back to Kiehl's. It's the Kiehl's Midnight Recovery Botanical Cleansing Oil. Mm-hmm. And I just do a couple pumps of that and just rub it all over, and then take one makeup wipe and it's all gone. It takes me like 5 minutes to get out of drag.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I used to, this is so horrible. I can't believe I actually did this for like 2 years. I used to use Wig Sheen. Wig Sheen is like what you put in synthetic wigs to make them look shiny. And like, if it's like looking dry. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I would spray that on my face and then use a makeup wipe.
Oh my gosh, your poor skin.
My poor skin.
Beauty hacks.
Yeah. Don't do that, kids. invest in the Kiehl's. It's like $30 a bottle and it'll last you for like 3 months.
Yeah. And speaking of wigs, do you have like a favorite that you've worn over the years? And also, what is the trick to like, when you're sort of dancing and everything, like the head's going everywhere, how do you keep your wig on without it just flying off?
Yeah. I have so many wigs. I literally pulled this out of the bottom of a drawer today and I was like, oh,
she's pretty.
I probably have at least 75 around me right now. Just
wow.
I just got this one. She's a...
Oh, pretty.
Oh, I saw this on your Instagram.
Yeah, she's like a 40-inch like human hair, full lace. I got from Wigs by Vanity in Australia, which is one of my favorite wig people.
How do you keep it from flying off when you're performing?
Yes. Well, usually I duct tape my head, like the circumference of it. I put a wig cap on and then I duct tape around so you have something to pin the wig into in the back.
Yeah.
And then I spirit gum all the lace in the front. It's not spirit gum, like... Again, a wonderful thing about quarantine is I don't have to glue anything down. It just kind of stays where it's supposed to stay. But if I'm dancing, I usually, this would all be like glued down to my forehead.
Right. Okay, so we're going to have her jump in. This is Ines. Put these on, honey. She's 9 years old.
Hi, Ines.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. You're 9? Are you nervous?
Yeah.
Don't be nervous. I don't bite. Do you have some questions for me? Mm-hmm. What are they? Let's hear them.
What inspired you to do drag?
What inspired me to do drag? That's a great question. Honestly, it's something I've always been interested in. Ever since I was a little boy, I always loved makeup and women's clothing and dolls and fashion and glamour and beauty and all of those things. So it was just really, it was so natural for me. It was like a natural choice for me to do it. So I think that's kind of one of the things that really inspired me. I'll tell you, the first time I saw a woman and I was like, oh my goodness, I want to look like that was, and I don't think you'll know this, but your mom may know it and you may know it too. Did you ever watch The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston?
I watched a little bit of it.
Okay.
She hasn't.
Well, Google Ann Baxter, she played Nefertiti in it. And because I grew up in such a Christian household, it was one of the few movies I was allowed to watch. And she was just the most glamorous, beautiful, seductive woman. She always had like chiffon on and jewels and people were fanning her. And I remember like watching it at like 5 years old and being like, oh, I want to do that. That was, I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't know what a drag queen was, but I just was like, I relate to that. Like that's, I can see myself doing that. I want to be like her. So I think it was just a natural kind of thing that I always knew was in me. And I just didn't understand what it was until I was older.
Do you have another question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's it like to be the first Canadian on RuPaul's Drag Race?
What's it like? Well, it felt like representing Canada at the Olympics is the best way I could put it. It was exciting. It was also very scary. I was very worried I was going to disappoint people and let them down. And that I kind of, nobody else put a lot of pressure on me, but I put a lot of pressure on myself. And I think that's something we all do a lot in our day-to-day lives is we kind of make up stories in our head and come up with ideas that you're going to disappoint everybody if you fail and all this stuff when it's really not true and you're telling yourself all that stuff. So that's something I did a lot to myself and kind of built up this idea in my head. But besides that, it was very amazing. It was such an honor to be able to represent my country and be the first person to do it.
So cool. And one last question.
Okay, what are you going to do for Pride Month?
What am I going to do for Pride Month? I'm going to eat ice cream on my couch. and I'm also working on donations right now for organizations that uplift the Black community. And I'm working on with some organizations that specifically target the Black queer community because of everything that's going on in the world right now. And I'm just really taking some time right now to just, because usually Pride Month, I'm so busy with shows and prides and stuff, and that's not happening this year. And so it's kind of nice to be able to sit there and think about what Pride actually means and what it's all about and how it started, because Pride started as a riot for equal rights. And I mean, this kind of feels like the first real Pride we've had in 30 years, because I mean, recently Pride has become so commercialized and done by corporations. And I think a lot of the times we've really missed the true meaning of it. So I think in a way this has been really nice because it's reminded us what it's actually about and really made us appreciate it. So I'm gonna be meditating on what Pride means to me this month and just being very grateful for all of the luxuries I'm given in this world.
Thank you. Good job, Inez.
Good job. Good job.
Do we want to do a quick rapid fire, Jill, before we close it out? Do we have time?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, what ice cream are you eating on the couch?
Oh my goodness. There's a store here called Salt and Straw, and they sell a strawberry coconut water sherbet, which is
so LA.
So LA. I also, don't worry, really my favorite flavor is just chocolate. Like I love like a good dark chocolate.
Nice.
Yeah.
What show are you binging on now?
The Great. Anything? On Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
It's about Catherine the Great. It's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Awesome. Good. What else?
What was the last text you sent?
It's a good question. Last text I sent was yay.
I bet you were talking about doing this podcast interview. And so where would you go once the quarantine's over? What's your dream destination?
Besides Toronto, because I do miss my family and everything, where I would really like to go, two places. New Orleans, because I love New Orleans. I just think it's the most beautiful city, and I love the history there. And I also would like to go on safari in South Africa, because I was supposed to do that in April, and it got canceled. So those are my two places.
Definite bucket list. Oh. And what are a couple of your dream dinner guests?
Ooh, dream dinner guests.
People. Living or dead?
Living or dead? Okay. This is a hard question. Okay. I can do this. Celine Dion. Mm-hmm. Definitely Celine Dion. Do Celine Dion. I'm going to do Elizabeth Taylor, Marilyn Monroe, Marlon Brando, because he's really cute. Jason Momoa, who is a man. He's also really cute. Charlize Theron. Nelson Mandela. This is a hard question. And Brad Pitt for some eye candy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love Brad Pitt.
My final question to you is, what is a drugstore makeup buy that is always in your kit?
Well, the eyeliner pencil that I usually use, and actually the setting spray I usually use that I just ran out of, and I got the Lady Gaga one and the Hangover one, is NYX. NYX Cosmetics is so good. They're especially their eyeliner pens. They're another brand that I've been using them for years and years and years, and I will continue to use them once this free one runs out. and their setting sprays are also excellent. So those are, NYX is a great drugstore brand for drag makeup or just makeup in general.
Yeah, love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh,
we love talking to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Brooklyn.
You're so cute. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes, on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.